Hello and welcome to Vampow TV, your weekly recap of Sobbing Over S.H.I.E.L.D. Aww. I am your desolate host, Kenneth, aww, and hi. Around the table we have Weepy Beepy and
no,
Mopey
I will
Monica.
Not answer to that. No.
Change approved. So, Beepy, what was your favorite part of this week?
I guess we're going to start with S.H.I.E.L.D., I guess?
No, we have to start with news because we have multiple important things.
That's true.
One, Black Panther is officially the highest grossing domestic superhero movie of all time.
Let's stop recording right now and go watch Black Panther.
That's fair.
We
will be right back.
Pause.
Okay, we're back.
Oh my god, we're
so good.
Guys,
so,
we didn't go see the movie.
Last weekend, it crested $630 million,
yeah,
which...
Did. Holy shit.
What?
Sorry.
She's trying to make it dirty.
Ew.
M'Baku.
Oh.
New boyfriend, like M'Baku.
Anyway, it made lots of money.
$630
obviously making
million
a sequel.
Dollars in 6 weeks?
I don't know.
Last time we checked in and talked about it, it was 27 days.
And yeah, six weeks sounds good then.
Yeah.
So, it's making money hand over fist.
I cannot wait for it to actually, it's been in China now probably 2 weeks, so it's gonna get there. I'm so excited.
Yeah. It should just become highest grossing superhero movie
ever. It should become that. It deserves it more than any of the other ones.
The only problem is this is gonna last for about another 5 weeks.
I know, and then Avengers hits.
Yeah, and then Infinity War is
so
going
funny.
To crush everything.
I read a great article about how, this is really great for this film and the people that this film is, directed at, and, black people and representation in American Hollywood and whatever, but also, this kind of fucks up it fucks up January to March movie releases, because they used to think you could stick one tent pole in the middle of February, and it would just, sweep until they started, summer blockbuster season. Because they're like, oh, people only really go to see one movie. So if a bunch of other little movies are out and we put a tentpole movie, everyone will go see our movie and we'll steal money from other things.
Okay.
Except that then they started putting more and more tentpole movies next to each other, thinking, oh, they've already seen the one, they'll go to the next one. Except everyone just keeps going back to Black Panther, and nobody's watching the new stuff.
Yeah, maybe the new stuff should be better.
Maybe it should be better.
Yeah, hashtag do better.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'm really excited about it.
Dude, yeah, I love it.
Killing
it's
it.
Great.
It's lit.
Okoye! New wife, Okoye. I love her. Mm. The more I think about it and the further we get from the film, the more I realize the General and M'Baku are my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Killmonger is so interesting
and
fascinating.
No, I had no idea that M'Baku was your favorite from day one.
You put M'Baku! I'm just saying, I didn't know that the General was going to be my favorite.
Mm.
I thought she was great, but every time I think about it, it's her scenes that I love the most.
Oh, dude, she killed it.
She fucking killed it, and she's the one that I want to go see the most. It's her, and then Shuri, and always M'Baku, my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more sexual.
Okay,
cool.
Great.
Okay.
She snatches her own wig.
Her own
nobody
wig!
Nobody else could.
I just can't stop thinking about when the CIA guys touched T'Challa and her whole body language just shifted from hanging out to straight
mode.
Murder.
Yeah.
And then at the end when he's like, Okoye, and she's like, American. I don't know, I love her. I love her so much. Guns, so primitive. New wife, Okoye.
Okay, in other news, we are recording this on Monday the 26th. Captain Marvel officially started filming today.
Ooh,
and
I'm so excited.
They put
Brie Larson in a jet. She looks like something out of Top Gun.
I forget the third person, though, because I'm garbage.
It's Lee Pace and Digimon Hanzu.
Yes, that is,
how dare you forget Digimon Hanzu?
I know, I'm terrible.
Oh, he's so gorgeous.
Yeah, so both of them.
Yes, he's also great.
is he going to actually get to show his actual face and not be buried under a million
maybe
tons of makeup?
This is pre whatever that guy did to him. What was Lee Pace?
Ronan.
Mm. Maybe it's before he threw in his lot with Ronan and we get to see his face.
Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully.
I mean, it's the 90s. Who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows?
Also, why those two? Oh, because she's Kree.
Yeah, Kree Scroll War. Yeah.
I got it. Never mind.
Dude.
Awkward.
Dude,
what if Digimon Hanzu is a Skrull?
Oh my god. If we get to see some Skrulls, I'm gonna freak out.
One of the
things that I love from weird, crazy Marvel comics are the Skrulls.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had them yet!
Because
they're
so heavily identified with the Fantastic Four, I feel, though. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, they were a Fantastic Four villains initially, and like the Super Skrull is one of their biggest baddies. And
okay. I didn't know that either. Yeah. I never really read very many Fantastic Four comics, so I always just imagine them as an Avengers bad guy.
Yeah, yeah. They over the year, and obviously like with Secret Invasion and stuff, it really became more mainstream. But yeah, I liked them before they were popular. So
God damn it, I've got that going for me. Mainstream, I was like hipster jokes.
Now, if anyone
like,
needs me, I have to find my beret.
I think about during Secret Invasion when a Skrull stole Baby Cage and everybody lost their fucking minds. And then I think about Carolina's significant other, Zavin.
Zavin.
I love Zavin.
He's a boy when he shows up on Earth. And they're supposed to be married. And she kind of goes, you're not really my type at all. Like, and he's like, hang on 1 second.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, this makes me uncomfortable because now I feel like you're just doing this for me, and I have no preference.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be that dude when I want to be that dude, and I'll be your lady when I want to be your lady. I don't know, it's a really good character.
I love that.
No, he's great. She's great. They're both great.
They're great.
They're great.
Also, motherfucking Philip J. Coulson
is
going to be in fucking Captain Marvel, and I hope Fury has two eyes, and I hope Fury calls him cheese.
Yes!
I want it!
Yes!
Actually, he can have just the one eye, but I want him to call him cheese.
Yeah, so it should be, probably 10 years after he becomes a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Mm-hmm. So still pretty newish.
Well, when in the 90s?
New-ish.
Early 90s? Late
90s? We don't know for sure.
Based on the flight suit, I'm going early 90s.
Interesting.
Because that flight suit looks like literally something out of Top Gun, and Top Gun is like mid to late 80s.
No. I love it. Interesting. I love her weird-ass, like, leftover from the 80s outfit that we got a picture of a while ago also.
I didn't see it.
Oh, it's weird looking.
Good. Well, it's like, green. Which
I feel like that's for CGI.
No, actually, there was. I read an article about it, about how it's actually a tie-in to an earlier, like, a version.
Yeah, that's a Kree Captain Marvel looking.
So we'll get the red, gold, and blue Captain Marvel for Avengers 4?
That or maybe even, like, halfway through this movie.
It'll switch over.
She's like, man, I'm tired of this.
I want that, and I want the hat that gives her a fucking mohawk.
Dude,
my fucking God.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, by like...
Thank God, though. Can we just say, like, from the start, she did not start with the leotard and the scarf thing.
Oh, no, yeah. We can skip that.
Yeah, she auto gets the actual superhero outfit, and it's a full-length suit.
Yeah.
We can skip that. Like, she doesn't have to wear that suit the same way that Jessica Jones never has to wear the jewel costume.
Well, and oh, man. I guess
costume's so ridiculous.
Black Widow always wore a cat suit. She can run around like a leotard.
When you think about when she was originally introduced, she didn't wear the black catsuit that she wears today. She more like dressed like a spy, so she dressed in real people clothes.
Oh, okay. That's cool. So she never had to deal with that garbage.
No, it was mostly just a lot of cleavage.
I mean, that's fine. So look, at least her arms and legs were covered.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
More like they had dipped her in a river of latex.
Because you know all outfits are completely adhered to your skin.
I always think about somebody was doing a Tumblr post and they were talking about how men don't know how to draw women with actual clothes on, and then they actually took a picture of frozen grapes wrapped in plastic. Like, this is frozen grapes wrapped in plastic. This is not how you draw ass cheeks.
That's hella funny.
Yeah, your clothes should not go into the curve of your ass.
Yeah, no, that's just uncomfortable, and no one likes that.
Unless you're wearing, like, I guess, leggings, dude.
No, like, still, pick your crack. Be a normal person.
Let's focus
off topic.
We got good news. Coulson's going to be there, and I have to agree with my favorite Twitter personality, Gavia, when she says that she hopes they just slap a wig on him and don't try that whole de-aging CGI bullshit.
No, it's creepy!
I want them to just shave his face, give him a little bit more hair, and I will assume he is 20 years younger.
I want,
you don't have to convince me. I'm here for it.
No, I want ugly 90s hair.
No, I mean, yes,
that's fine.
Ugly 90s hair is fine. I don't want them to do the thing where they, like, smooth out his face.
Nah.
Because it's always Uncanny Valley.
Do it with some makeup or whatever, but don't CGI it.
Yeah, do not. Because he's still, I mean, he's older. He looks a little, looks rough.
A little chiseled.
Let's get this going.
But, like, you could soften that up a little, you know? Feed him some donuts for a month.
Oh, what? Okay.
And Sam Jackson can just look the same.
He looks exactly like he did 20. I watched Long Kiss Goodnight, and the only difference is he actually had a little hair on his head.
Mm-hmm.
He looks exactly the same.
I think his cheekbones were a little bit sharper, but it's pretty much the same.
Who gives a shit?
Nobody.
He still looks like Samuel Jackson.
Actually, I wonder if we'll have, wait, did he die? Ward's teacher.
Shit. He won't be in the movie.
No, that guy died.
That guy
died? Okay.
For reals, in real life.
That sucks.
He also died in real life. Oh, yeah. Bill Paxton.
Yeah. He died.
He did die.
That's a real bummer. That was sad.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, remember, well, yep, he's not going to be in it then.
True Lies. Ugh, when he was a FBI agent.
I love that movie.
That's such a good movie. Anyway.
Okay, so let's jump into Legends of Tomorrow, where Sarah is enticed by the Death Totem. And
not enticed. She was annoyed. Annoyed into picking up the Death Totem. I would have broken it.
I know.
Shut up! I would not have put that on.
Well, that's the thing. You touch the totem, and then all of a sudden, you're, like, wearing
a silver wig.
Crazy-ass Party also, City wig.
We found out something about Wally. He's into silver hair.
He is.
Yeah. I mean,
he's going to start dating, like, older women?
Creepy face veins. Oh, they should find... Nope, that's Marvel. Never mind. I was going to say Silver Sable, but that won't work, so... It doesn't matter. Let's move on. It's still Marvel.
Oh.
It could rip into another dimension. That's
probably...
Marvel and DC have had crossovers.
They have.
Yeah, but not in their TV shows. I would love it, but it's not going to happen.
Okay, that's the rule?
Has it happened yet?
Intellectual property rights.
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
I mean, I would love to have the Joker punch the Red Skull, because I might be a bad guy, but I'm not a Nazi.
Oh, man, that's... one of my few very favorite Joker things.
I thought it was one of the mafia kids.
No, that was Joker.
Joker.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was a mafia dude who was like, what the fuck, get out of here, Nazi.
No, you're thinking of The Rocketeer.
I mean, it could be.
Man, also that movie's great.
Yes.
Okay. Have you watched it lately?
No. And so I'll probably just keep it that way.
Yeah. We rewatched it recently.
Yeah, we watched it.
It was good.
This show.
Oh, yeah, we did. Okay.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, and so I watched it last summer. I was just teasing. And it wasn't that. That's right. I'm thinking that mafia guy. Wow. Okay, guys, I'm caught up.
Look at that. I'm in your head. All right. Your thoughts.
Anyway, I just really love that. I may be a mafia guy, and I may kill people, but I'm not a fucking Nazi.
Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah. So, anyway, Sarah gets annoyed by the Death Totem to get her to pop the box, pick it up. Malice takes over her brain. No, that was earlier. because earlier, though, she wakes up in bed with Captain Ava Sharp. And Sarah,
Director. Isn't it Director?
Director Ava Sharp.
Now?
Sorry, she got promoted. My bad.
Captain Lance and Mrs. Captain.
Mrs. Captain.
Yeah. Let's slip the. She hooked up with Constantine like 2 weeks ago. Makes it better by.
There's 3 weeks?
I don't care.
I do want to say how much I liked in that moment where she could have let it pass and not said anything, which I felt would have been very standard television practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's standard new relationship practice as well.
To not be like, yeah, we're just friends. And then halfway through the episode when Sarah's in mortal danger, that's when Ava finds out that the two of them boned once and she's going to think that Sarah lied because it was a big deal and misunderstandings.
Yeah.
But instead she's like, no, we boned once. It was fine.
I feel like Sarah's not ashamed of anyone she's ever had sex with.
Like, come on. Also, this is Sarah Lance.
Yeah, maybe Oliver.
No, she wouldn't because he's so fucking hot.
He's so hot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be ashamed
of
that.
Did they bone after he became
the
Arrow,
right?
She came back and they kind of hooked up for a bit.
Until Nyssa came back to town.
Yeah, then it got all weird.
Then she blew him off again. Yes.
Cool.
Okay, so yeah, she picks up the Death Totem, gets kind of hot, kind of really creepy.
I'd still hit that.
Man, she had weird face veins, and I was not into that. Like,
turn the lights off.
It was scary. She scared me sexually.
See, I'm into scary hot.
That's fair.
With you, Kenneth. I'm not into scary hot.
So the team makes the great decision to go try to fight her one by one, starting with Wally, because Wally is like, man, I'm a speedster. I don't care. And she whoops up on him.
I'm so mad about that because he literally stopped running.
Oh, no, I know.
He should have just kept running until he found her.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, speedsters, when they want to take someone out, just keep running.
Damn it, Wally.
And you're good.
I don't even care. I love him so much. He's so
cute. Oh, I know. He's so adorable. So much better on this show.
Oh, my God. I love when he went to get Mick, and Mick was naked, so he put a robe on him.
I like how Mick's just standing there looking weird. I was like, what was Mick doing?
Yeah.
Because, like, Wally looks uncomfortable, and then he goes, who dressed me? And I went, oh, no.
And sorry, he's like, I was trying to tell you.
I was trying to tell you, kid. I like how there wasn't a moment of no homo.
Mm-hmm. No, it was just like...
You're just uncomfortable because you saw your friend naked. Which, you know, when you're not expecting it, it's a little weird.
A little weird.
So, Ava calls in and is like, hey, what's Sarah up to? And they're like, well, funny story. She was taken over by Mollus again. And it's
she's
a real problem.
She's an evil killing machine. Don't worry about
it. But Constantine told Ray this thing. And she's like, wait, Constantine? Oh, fuck. Okay, I have to go talk to him. And she does. She takes
Gary, of all people.
Look, it worked out well.
Yes, it did.
Because they connected.
Yo, they're boning right
now.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Gary and Constantine are getting
Gary's down. Little face when Constantine kissed him on the mouth. I was like, Gary.
There are currently 8 Gary Constantine fics on Archive of Our Own.
Of course there are.
I have read all 8 of them. Of course you have.
All these things make sense to me. So.
Basically, it was an episode, I think, that kind of stood still, but it was fun.
Yeah, very much a bottle episode.
Yeah, I really think, I actually think it wouldn't have taken as long, and it would not have only taken Ava to get Sarah back. I think she's so committed to her role as captain, any one of them being in danger would have snapped her out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I get what they were trying to do.
Yeah,
by
because
having it be Ava.
Then they make that connection, and then Sarah gets scared of that connection, and she's like, oh no, this is too much like feelings, I'd better run away. Yeah. And so breaks up with Ava.
Which is a real bummer.
Heart-wrenching scene. But it closed with one of the best scenes of this show ever.
And they played Dungeons and Dragons.
That was Gary playing D&D with Constantine.
Constantine is acting like he's never heard of D&D before. Also, when Gary starts telling the story, and like Ava goes, "What the fuck is this, Gary?" and Constantine is like,
"No,
enraptured yeah. in the story.
Tell me more about this."
But we
skipped over the part where Monica almost threw up because Constantine kissed a
foot. Why do you keep talking about it?
Kissed a what?
The foot. The foot.
Oh man, that was hilarious. I thought of you.
And then Ava picked it up by the little toe. You pick it up by the ankle top. I told her I would pick it up by the extended bone and viscera before I picked up a
That's
foot
not
by
healthy.
The foot.
Gross.
I'm not kidding.
Super gross.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but important parts of this. Nate picked up the earth totem, but...
Nothing happened.
Yeah, I feel like Sarah showed up and booped him on the head before he could potentially make a connection with it. Also, we
it
don't know
take
if
a while
it...
For-
yeah. And then Mick picks up the fire totem.
Oh my god, I'm so dumb. How did we not think
wizard.
Of this before?
I know.
No, actually, at the very beginning, when they're talking about the totems, and I'm thinking to myself, they're going to have to find somebody to carry these, because like we can't give the death totem back to Elvis, because he has to stay Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody has to carry all these totems, and they're talking about the fire totem, and I went... They couldn't give that to Mick, could they?
That would be a terrible plan.
Probably not,
I'm
right?
I'm so into it.
Yeah.
But
so
yes!
Into it.
So he starts throwing fireballs,
and it
was awesome. So I wonder if he's just going to roll around with that now and just retire the heat gun for the time being.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can make your own fire,
yeah.
Why the hell not?
Well, it's also a little less obvious than carrying around a weapon.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit more subtle.
And we also learned that only 5 of the totem bearers imprisoned Mollus, and that the 6th tribe of Zarbezi, the carriers of the death totem, actually sided with him, and that's why... they were lost, quote unquote. Mm-hmm.
I think that they misunderstood what their totem was.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of interpretations. They could have been tricked by Mollus, yeah. Or they could have been selfish and greedy and not understood how bad it was. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things.
Well, it's like, I'm going to reference Percy Jackson here, but It's like everyone thinks Ares is a god of war, so all he wants is to have war. Or the Wonder Woman run, mm-hmm. where they thought Ares was behind everything because it was just constant war. And literally in both versions, he goes, I don't want that. That's terrible. I believe in a righteous war. I believe in a war with like an end eventually that is full of fire in the middle of it. But I'm not here just for people to be fighting forever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not my jam. So I feel like the Death Totem people, maybe they lost track or lost sight of what theirs is. And it's mm-hmm. more like, Death isn't malicious. He just shows up to take you somewhere at the end so you're not alone, kind of an idea. And that's what they are maybe supposed to do. But they got seduced or tricked or lost their way by Mollus. And
yeah.
He's like, I'll give you all the death you want.
And they're like, ooh, yay.
Yeah.
Yay, death party.
Yeah, it's a lot, I feel like a lot of times death is equated with evil, especially
in
popular culture, you know, and because, you know, we're mortal human beings whose bodies are fragile and marching slowly toward death,
yeah,
so we're afraid of that. But death is just a natural part of life.
I saw, a Tumblr thing that it was basically, like, everyone's so afraid of him, but literally he's just, like, or it's just this thing that shows up because it doesn't want you to do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a friend during this really scary thing to get you to the part that's not scary, so why are we so mean to him?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's actually very smart. It's very nice. Anyway.
Yup.
So they got her back.
I liked it. Yeah.
Not a lot happened this episode, but it was super fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was great.
Very enjoyable episode with pretty much zero forward progress.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're going to have...
Sometimes I find that annoying, but I think that they made each scene so interesting with the characters we love that mm-hmm. I wasn't mad about it.
Well, yeah. I'm so fond of Constantine at this point.
Yeah.
I loved
every time he shows up.
Every second of every scene he's in. I love it.
With the chicken.
Yes. It's a gig economy. yeah, and then of course I love when he planted one on Gary. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Into it.
Well, I would just like to see, at this point, a Justice League Dark on the CW.
I would like anything that has more to do with magic, because I feel like so many of the TV shows and movies right now are, like, boo anti-magic.
Oh, yeah, Marvel's which completely I don't shied away from like, it. Yeah.
I don't know why. There's nothing wrong it's like, with magic.
It all has to be tech-based, which,
yeah, which is
you know,
dumb.
When Thor came out and it was like, oh, it's not magic, it's technology, I was like, okay, I'm on board with this. This is fun and different and interesting. But after fucking 20 years of this, I'm like...
Jesus fucking Christ, watch your mouth.
I'm hyperbolizing. But after so many movies and so many years, and we're, like, literally putting a ban on magic use, that makes no sense
mm-hmm. to me. Yeah, it's silly.
Just have some magic. Constantine's magic is awesome and fun, and I love it.
Yeah.
Also, more demons.
Ugh.
Demons are a good time.
Ugh. Are they?
But they're not real.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so let's jump over to Black Lightning.
Dude!
Yo! Dude. This show is so fucking good! Every week, this show is so good! Okay, there was one week where it was like a solid B mm-hmm. instead of an A++. But like, this was an A++ week.
Yeah, so it opens up, Anissa goes and talks to Jennifer and is like, hey, so about that thing, maybe you have superpowers. And Jennifer's like, what? No, I don't believe you, that's dumb. And Anissa lifts up her giant bed.
Which is legitimately the physics of her picking up that entire bed from one end. Not even one end, one corner.
It's a very, very strong frame.
Unless her arms are 12 feet long.
No, because she should have just lifted the corner up and then the back end, like, went like that.
Yeah.
Went like that.
Strong frame.
But I can lift the corner of a bed. I can't lift a bed.
Over your head?
No, I can't lift a bed off the floor completely, mm-hmm. but I could lift the corner of a bed and then you get under it and you just stand. Like, that's not difficult. Maybe... I couldn't do it
that high with
mattresses and a person.
Yeah.
So I understand that why they had her pick up the whole fucking thing, because, like, obviously I can't do that. I guess I just wish that maybe, like, she had done it from the middle of the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
Supergirl caught a plane.
It's fine, whatever.
And moved the boat.
It's fine.
Look.
I thought...
You could have blocked it differently.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Whatever. But yeah, so poor Jennifer freaks right the fuck out.
Yeah.
She's like, what? No. And then Anissa's like, also Dad's Black Lightning.
Yeah.
What?
Oh my God, way to hold it together, Anissa.
Yeah, I feel
that's
like...
That's not so much your secret feels like, to spill.
This feels like such an Anissa thing, though, where she just gets overly excited mm-hmm. and runs full tilt at a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it, like, we're 9 episodes in, and that felt so natural to me, and that tells me this show has done a really good job setting these characters
up.
Oh,
yeah, locking each one down into their personality.
Because Jennifer's reaction to it, while I find that kind of reaction annoying and feel like we've hit an age where this generation would be excited about powers, not weird and lame and cryy about powers... Mm-hmm. The way they did it with Jennifer made so much sense. I didn't even think to be annoyed.
Yeah.
Because she's the type of person who is not down for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they embraced it fully, because every single fucking woman on this show is different.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when I was watching it, about how on a lot of other shows, we would have had, it would have been just Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she would have been the chosen one or whatever. And everybody else around her is like, oh my God, superpowers. And she's like, no.
No, I hate it.
But yeah, but we...
Looking at you, Buffy.
Dang.
Ice cold.
Dang.
But yeah, so seeing the way that Anissa, because we got to spend time with Anissa first, and she's like, yes.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Superpowers for social justice is going to be awesome. But yeah, you're totally right. When Jennifer gets them, it has the opposite reaction. It feels very organic.
That moment when she's talking to her mom and she's like, I don't want this. I want to go to prom. I want to go to college. I want to get a job. I want to get married. I want to have babies. I was not annoyed at any part during that speech, because I went, yeah, that feels right for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that feels like the future.
Then especially
you would want.
The, wait, can I have babies?
Oh my God.
And her mom's like, I don't.
I'm so angry. Lynn all the time is like one step forward, 1,000 steps back. Because you're a fucking doctor, and if Jefferson can have babies, your daughters can have babies. Also, lie.
There's...
I mean, so I'm going to guys and girls' physiologies are somewhat different.
There's no reason they wouldn't be able to have children.
Maybe
that is a only... terrible thing to imply to a young girl.
Oh, sure, sure.
I would say that there may be an issue, but at this point we have zero data that says there could even be an issue.
That's my problem.
No, I mean, Lynn should have just been like, no, I'm sure it's totally fine.
It's just one of those things where, like, Lynn is the character that they have to use for that kind of shit.
She's the Mac of this show.
So I have to keep reminding myself that she's a mom and she's worried, but in that moment, you're a fucking doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You have the knowledge and experience in your head to go, nothing says you can't have babies. If you want to do a test, we can do a test.
Let's run tests.
But I'm telling you right now, you can probably have babies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, especially she's 16 or 17, so she's probably already having her period. So, like, we know that she's at least
ovulating.
Stuff is working down there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I really like the way they've done each of their, like, coming out stories. Anissa just, like, embraced it and did all her own research and figured it out on her own. She's a firstborn. She doesn't want to be a burden. Jen, a thing happened, and she immediately went to someone. And then, because she doesn't have a hero complex. She doesn't want to save the world. She believes in doing what's right most of the time, I guess. But, like, that's not who she is as a person. And I just really am enjoying the shit out of this show.
She's still very much in her selfish teenager phase.
She's 16.
I say selfish teenager, but it's totally fine.
That's
it's
what
totally
you're supposed
normal.
To be.
And I would not be angry at anybody for having a selfish teenager phase. We all did.
Oh, yeah.
You don't, just because you get superpowers at 16 doesn't mean that you have to be Captain America about it.
Right. Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with not wanting to be Captain America.
That's totally also
not
fine.
Not everybody can be Peter Parker or Steve Rogers or whatever. Like, that's not everybody's makeup.
Yeah.
And I love that this show shows that. Oh, the show is so good!
Oh, man. I loved... We got a lot of Gambi this episode, which was fun because he wasn't in the last episode at all.
You mean, like, the problem solver?
Oh, my God!
Goddamn.
That guy is legit!
You guys, like, no joke, when this guy first showed up, I was so intrigued that he was, like, the reverse, like, token black dude. He's, like, the token white dude who's, like, the problem solver tech guy. And at first, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then as it went on, I was like, I don't know. I think I might find him annoying. But, like, the deeper we get into his relationship and his relationship with this family, the more I love Gambi.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like he doesn't have a family because Jefferson and Jefferson's family is his.
Yeah.
Like, they call him Uncle Gambi. I'm so into this.
And he's just, like, so driven by the guilt of what
he helped do that
he adopted this new family. It was like, I like you. I'm going to keep
you're
you
mine
safe.
Now. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
I love to, Anissa goes to him and she's like, I don't know, Dad said not to talk to you. And he's like, well, then what are you doing here? She's like, well, I want to know my own. I was like, girl, I got you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I loved so much about that scene. I like how he let her know sort of the edges of what the problem was, but he didn't tell her all of their business.
Right.
Because he's not Anissa. Doesn't spill other people's secrets.
And he let her know that he wanted her to carry a message, but he didn't, like, try to plead his case to her.
And there's no guilt. There's no guilt. He just went, this is what I need from you. If you say yes, cool.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to shit-talk Jefferson or drive a wedge. All he was trying to do was say, look, it's okay if he doesn't want to talk to me. It's okay if you don't want to talk to me, but you need to know this is important. This is more important than us right now.
And for me, that's how you show me as an entertainment medium that this person actually cares about someone. Mm-hmm. Is if it's not about them getting back in good graces or winning something. It's literally just, you never have to speak to me again. No one in your family does. Just, you need to know this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That I really like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All the interpersonal relationships on this show are so good.
Yeah, and they communicate so well.
They do!
And, like, it still surprises me because
so
I'm
awesome.
So conditioned by television that
also,
no one will ever talk to each other about
I love that
anything.
It's every relationship they communicate well. Even Henderson, the cop, and Black Lightning / Jefferson, they were in a fight at the end of last episode or two episodes before, but Henderson and him are still talking. They're still having conversations.
Yeah, if they're obviously frustrated with each other.
Right, they're still working oh, God, it's so great. Because, you know, on any other show, they would have, like, not been talking for two or three episodes. It would have gotten really annoying and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, no. Have that phone call where Jefferson is, like, standing at the window.
The window?
In the rain.
That scene was so good.
Oh, my God. When he is trying, and he's like, you know I didn't kill Lady Eve.
And Henderson is like,
I know. Like, I was giving you shit, but, like, I know. And then he's like, if I get shot in an alley and they try to tell everybody I was dirty, make sure my wife
that
knows.
That scene, holy shit.
Yeah.
God.
Oh my god. Because you know Henderson is a good cop and he's doing his best, but like he, like Jefferson says, knows that there are crooked fucking cops on his force.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the show is so good.
And then he like hangs out on a building like taking photos.
For like days. I'm gonna take some vacation time. What are you doing?
I felt like I'm watching that scene and I was thinking to myself, this is edited strangely because it honestly felt like he was up there for half the day.
I felt like if this was any other show, he would have got caught. I kept waiting for someone to come out of the dark with a gun. Yeah, I thought the other shoe was going to drop. Yeah, but no, he was just on a roof and it was fine. I was like, this makes so much more sense. He's good at surveillance. He's a cop. Like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
And this is her new outfit.
And she looks lit.
We get a new verse to the Black Lightning song.
Oh, I know, which was awesome. So she's got her own refrain in it.
Black Girl Magic. Yeah.
Into it.
Also, I really liked when Anissa goes back to talk to Jennifer and is like, oh, hey, what were you watching when I walked in? And one, Jennifer is like, oh, it's this dude who made a song about your butt. And Anissa's like, god damn it. Even with all of this, that's what they're focusing on.
Men.
And then Jeffrey's like, well, actually, though, you've got a fan club. More people like you than dad already. And they think you're badass.
And changing the patriarchy. And she's like, yeah, I'd like to see that, please.
Yeah.
Which I agree with. I think that's exactly how it would go down if this was actually happening. And mm-hmm. I like how topical this show is. I think it makes it feel like it's really part of the 2017-2018 narrative. Yeah. And I think that it's just, this is like a historical show and we're in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
I'm so excited to be here. Also, like the tiny little moment where everything feels so natural and organic on their show, but like she's sitting there talking to her sister and she goes, I'm not even really sure about thunder. Like, she just kind of said that to herself and then, like, moved on. And that was such a cute little, like, superhero moment. Like, what should my name be?
Mm-hmm.
I liked looking at the costumes. We see that Jefferson's costume is both blue and yellow. And then Anissa's costume is just yellow, which leads me to believe that when Jennifer gets a costume,
it's gonna be blue. Just blue.
I could see that, yeah.
I'm so into it. Also, what I realized is Jefferson's costume points to his dick. And Anissa's costume points to her but JJ. And I'm like, I get it, because they're hot, but also, like, what?
See, that's actually where their power comes from. Right. And so those are
from their loins.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, you know what else I really enjoyed? I enjoyed that guy was about to shoot Anissa at the end, and Jefferson, like, caught him in his lightning and then lifted him and basically murdered him with the power of electricity. And Anissa is watching the whole thing go down, and I'm like, if she turns around and gives me
she's
this,
like,
I'm going to be pissed. Hey, she fucking smiled, and I was like, this is the best show I've ever seen in my whole life.
And then they burned the building down and walked away. And
oh, my God! Yeah. Literally, I was watching this at work. It was, like, before anyone really started, I was, like, catching up on stuff. And I'm, like, watching the show, and I got distracted by that whole fight scene. And then they're leaving the building in slow motion. I was like, this show is so perfect. And then the building exploded, and I went, how is it more perfect?
I have a question. So when Lynn is talking with Jennifer, when they're still in her room, and she's like, wait, did you just come in here to tell me that you're Vixen?
And then she says,
I'm not Supergirl.
Yeah.
Does that mean they exist in this universe?
I don't
universe?
Know, because Grace. Grace, never mind. I don't know where Chloe came from. Grace was reading an Outsiders comic, so they have comics in this that I assume have those characters also.
Yeah, but also so, maybe Supergirl exists in this universe.
It could be,
and that's
yeah.
how we get a crossover. Ooh, is what I'm saying.
I don't think I want that anymore. Like, I used to want crossovers.
I kind of agree, because I don't think anything really, those four shows we watch don't really fit with what they're doing with Black Lightning, and I don't want them to ruin Black
Lightning. I think the only way I'd be down with crossovers is if it was the yearly thing, he stays in his own universe and just somehow pops over for the crossover and then leaves and doesn't get their weird shit up in his world.
I mean, I'd be fine with that if, like, somehow they went and got him or tripped into his universe and maybe, like, the Flash saved him from a fight or he saved Flash from a fight and then they could, like, use their lightning powers together. But I don't want them in Freeland.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, we could have, like, the Legends could crash land or something.
Actually, I think of all the shows, the Legends would fit in best, and we could have, like, a fun Black Lightning episode.
That would be really cool.
Because some of these, it has the ability to be fun, like, the Legends.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, like, it has all these pieces together, but it's doing all of them better. Except maybe the Legends. But, like, it does Arrow shit better than Arrow. Mm-hmm. It does Flash stuff better than Flash. And, like, it does the Supergirl, like, finding your own way stuff so far way better than mm-hmm. Supergirl. Yep. What if they crash landed in Freeland?
That'd be fun.
Well, I was like, hey, everyone.
So okay. And,
I love the show. It's so yeah. good.
Episode ends with Jennifer and Jefferson talking
having
it out.
A moment.
And
I did really like that the show drew the parallel between Gambi hiding things from Jefferson and Jefferson hiding things
oh, yeah,
from Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very good point.
Yeah, that's a fair parallel to make.
Well, I think it's doing it so well, too. It's not as heavy-handed as it could be. They're really kind of, mm-hmm. they're sprinkling in the stuff. Like, his little flashback when he was sneaking into that place for whatever. I was distracted. But, like, his flashback of the kids playing basketball, mm-hmm. I thought that was so well done. You know, and you can, I don't know, it conveyed a lot in something that I think could have not done as well on a different show.
Yeah. Okay, and last, but my God, never least, is Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
This week was fucking brutal.
Yeah. Brutal is the correct word. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And normally I'm the kind of person who sees the turn coming. I did not see it.
Because we've been waiting. We've been waiting for Hydra Fist to show up.
Oh, yeah, because especially Simmons has, you know, said a couple times about her greatest fear. And, like, you know what that's got to be.
Yeah, well, I like how they've cemented it, that, oh, your greatest fear. And Simmons goes, it doesn't have to be his. I was like, girl, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't, until Daisy said, who are you talking to?
And yeah, that, and I was like,
I didn't get there until she said the line.
Fuck. So this opens with Fitzsimmons and Deke hanging out, doing some stuff, doing some science.
Deke's being weird.
Deke's being super weird because he doesn't know what to do now.
Staring at his grandma and being weird.
Yeah, a little creepy. Whatever. And then astronaut from Hive World shows up, starts choking out Simmons.
What was his name, Adam?
Will.
Will.
Yeah.
So not
close. We were
close
not even close. We were like, Steve? Sam?
We just assume everyone's name is Steve.
My goodness. Yeah. And so, you know, another fear thingy, gets shot, poofs away. But it gives Fitz the, like, blah, I need to fix this thing and I can't. I'm going to freak out even more.
He's been even more on edge. Like, we've seen that ramp up over the last few episodes mm-hmm. of him. Obviously not sleeping. He can't figure stuff out. He's, like, his hands are shaking more. He's doing that thing where he, like, puts his fingers in his hair and pulls.
Yeah.
Which you see people do when they get really freaked out.
Well, and yeah, especially with the handshaking stuff, that was season 2
brain damage
Fitz. And, like, it's so much of this show, they lay so much groundwork that once something happens, you go, how did I miss it? Both with this and with Coulson's, like, infected crap. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes, he didn't unzip that jacket for the entire first half of this fucking season.
Yeah.
And no one noticed.
And then you're just like, oh no. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's all bad because Dr. Fitz shows up, Leopold, Nazi Fitz from the framework.
I like how they call him the doctor.
The doctor.
Yeah, it's like Fitz can't even bring himself to say that it's him.
Yeah, it's
he has to other it.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a Banner talking about Hulk initially.
Mm-hmm. The other guy, yeah. Well, and I like the way they shot it, where obviously his hair is different.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's that first scene where they're talking to each other, it even seems to me that Hydra Fitz's facial hair was different. I don't know if they combed it
and they don't comb Fitz's. They scrub their hands through Fitz's, mm-hmm. but they like comb his to match the part.
Yeah, because it looked more, I don't know, neat, orderly, evil.
He had more evil facial hair.
Mm-hmm. All right,
dude, he did.
It's the worst.
It was like
timeline.
Weird, like mutton chop thing crossover.
Okay.
Yep, there's the thing. I was looking at his face.
Anyway.
Oh, man. Disturbing.
And while this is happening and the doctor's showing up and harassing Fitz, the rest of the team is able to hack Hale's phone and abducts her in a totally sweet way.
That was so funny.
It's oh, my God, yeah, where she just drives right up
into the bus.
I loved it.
Easiest snatch and grab ever.
Yeah. Apparently too easy, however, because it turns out
she knew the whole thing.
Yeah, she wanted that to happen. She has Creel, the Absorbing Man, as her fake robot driver.
Legitimately, when they were like, we can't get it's like a statue behind the wheel, we can't get out of the car, I turned to her and I was like, push the car. car out of the plane.
Oh, I know, right? Just dump fuck the vehicle that noise.
Because we don't need an android up in here.
Yeah. And then they would have had no leverage.
They would have had nothing.
Creel with explodey bits wasn't in there.
Yeah. Melinda knew almost immediately. Yeah.
I love that, that she knew.
Yeah, she's like, oh, what's up, Creel?
Get also, like, when he got out of the car, it, like, lifted.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice touch.
That was pretty cool. Yes.
But then we also get Russian dude
Charles
Ivanov.
Babe.
Charles Babe!
What?
No. Oh, sorry. Have you not seen Black Sails?
You should watch number one. You should watch Black Sails.
Just like every other week when you ask me this, I still have not seen...
Is it really every week? This show is so good!
I will tell you if I watch Black Sails. Okay. My goodness.
Let us tell you which episodes you can skip, because there's like three in the first season you don't need to watch.
Okay.
But anyway, he plays...
I'm not going to watch it. That's a good place to watch it.
He plays Charles Vane on this show, and he was her favorite pirate.
Yes.
And so it's just nice to see his face again, because we didn't actually... We got the Russian dude before we started watching Black Sails, and so we saw the Russian creepy dude, and then we got Charles Vane. And so now there's, like, a softer spot in our hearts for him.
Aw.
Because I'm like, Charles Vane! What a guy.
Well, anyway... Antov Ivanov is also snuck onto the Zephyr. He's like,
he fucking has one of our Quinjets.
They landed that
landed a Quinjet.
And he sauntered off.
I thought they used the Quinjet to abduct the car.
No, they used the bus to catch the car.
I completely misread Ivanov that.
Ivanov rolled up and parked on top of the bus with a fucking Quinjet they just have.
Bad planning, then.
No, I think it's from when Ava escaped. I think she took a
Quinjet. Well, no, but I mean, maybe don't let people park on your flying car.
It's a Quinjet. They're, like, keyed for each other.
It's a bad plan. I don't like it.
Yeah, he didn't sneak. He sauntered off of that.
Yeah, okay.
Look, can I tell you, I'm so into LMD Ivanov. Like, he was a weirdo jerk-off when he was a person.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know, he's, like, more charming.
More personable now, yeah. Like, it's a little strange.
Well, yeah, because they had that first scene with him, and then when they come back to have the second conversation, he's literally, like, got one shoulder leaned against the side and his, like, ankles crossed, and he could not be more comfortable.
Oh, yeah, he's just chilling.
And I'm like, I love everything about what's happening right now. It was weird because I didn't really like him as his Russian like self, but like the LMD version, I don't know, I'm into it.
Yeah, now he's just a brain in a jar. He's a cool guy.
He's like a lot more chill.
Yeah, real weird.
So of course they're like, we're gonna take Coulson with us.
Yeah,
I love how mad May is. She's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, because she knows what Coulson's gonna do every time this situation comes up.
Yes, no, she's mad because she ain't gonna get to ride that D. Don't look at me like that. You know I'm right.
Oh, my God.
He's taking it with him.
I don't know. He could have a prosthetic.
I can't even right now.
Also, because he's always going to do the self-sacrifice.
He's always going to jump in the grenade.
And she's exhausted by it because she wants to ride that D.
Oh, my God. They're full circle in 30
Hi,
seconds.
I'm Monica. Nice to meet
don't
you.
Don't touch me.
All right.
Well. Yeah, you don't know where those hands are at. Actually, you probably
know do.
Where those hands are been. Yeah.
Coulson's D.
You wish.
I do wish! Okay. God, he looks so fucking good this episode with, like, the 5 o'clock shadow, and he's a little beat up and a little grimy, and I'm like, ugh, I want to go
Well, because they've been living in a hole for
Okay,
the
but
last
I had a weird
weeks.
Moment, because in the first, like, 10 minutes of the show, he had the 5 o'clock shadow, and then...
It was, like, 8 o'clock shadow.
It was, like, 9 o'clock. It was 5 o'clock times 2 days shadow. And then, like, we see him again, and he's completely clean-shaven. And I was like...
Yeah, the first time he came out to meet Ivanov.
I feel like... Well, it was to talk to the lady. Oh, no, it was to meet up with Ivanov. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, maybe he wanted to, like, spruce himself up for wherever the boss is. Like, he's sliding back into Coulson secret agent, not Coulson rebel revolutionary.
Quick shower and shave, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so he did, like... Probably not even a shower. He probably just, like, washed his face real quick, shaved, and went, okay, I'm here. I just don't have my suit. Anyway, I've been thinking about it since we watched it.
I could dig that, yeah.
It's the only thing that makes sense. Otherwise, there's a continuity error that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I love his face so much.
Oh, yeah, so he and May have that, like, whisper fight off to the side.
Yeah. And he's like, let's not air our dirty laundry. And she's like, give me that D before you go.
Oh, my God, girl. Can you get Jesus. It together? She's like, we're trying to save you. You keep jumping on grenades. You're not fucking Steve Rogers. Can you get your shit together?
Can you stop?
Yeah. But he doesn't, because he's Coulson, so he goes with
Also, them. Legit, like, this is how you figure it out. They're not going to kill him. he's got his arm. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's going to be fine.
If they wanted him dead, they would have shot him already.
Face. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So he's getting intel. He's on a recon spy mission.
Yeah.
And I get why she's mad, obviously. But, like, they have to have 1,000 backup plans to get any of them back when they volunteer to be taken hostage.
Yeah,
right. Like, come on. I'll bet you that fight was even staged.
I would believe that.
They practiced that fight. Yeah. If one of us gets taken, we have to pretend to argue about it.
So he goes with them, and we go back to the A plot, which is the doctor's running around.
Just like, fucking shit up.
Reprogramming androids that they brought. Android goes, wanders over, shoots Mac.
Deke in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Deke, oh, man.
Grandpa hit Deke in the face with a wrench.
Deke's poor face.
And then Mac rushed a robot, and the robot shot him.
I mean, I would.
I'm not surprised. It's him. Mac. He doesn't like robots.
Yeah.
Correct. But it was interesting when we still think this is an anomaly.
The doctor, yeah.
And he's talking about how he only programmed them to keep Mac away, that he didn't actually want them dead. Mm-hmm. And he talks about what his plan is here, is to stop the rupture.
Right.
And I'm thinking, this is weird. Yeah. You know, this is weird. Why would he
want... Well, he kept saying to do what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not genocidal. Like,
yeah, you're no. like, what is...
That's like, what are...
It's not what like is this fear dude doing?
Well, yeah. It's like, yeah, I was like, are you here to roll the hard six? Why would you help us? Like,
yeah.
It's weird. But it's because Fitz can't do what needs to be done because it's too horrifying.
Yeah.
But the doctor can because he's a genocidal maniac.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Well, he's the... What happens
he's not, yeah,
when...
Yeah, he's not a genocidal maniac.
Fitz's...
Conscience is gone.
Science just goes to
full
the furthest logical
and no
conclusion.
Humanity.
Yeah, without morality to check it in.
He's lost his morality, he's lost his empathy, so he loses himself.
Yeah.
And he becomes this weird science machine.
Who pulls that thing out of
the back. It was like 3 feet long.
Yeah, man, that inhibitor was real big.
Oh my God. Black. That was so uncomfortable. Yeah. It was like watching them remove a spaghetti monster from her.
So yeah, he... Android kidnaps Daisy, knocks her out. She wakes up on the table. Fitz is arguing with the doctor, and she's like, Fitz, who are you talking to? And he realizes, ah, shit, it's just me.
It's just me.
But I still need to do this. This is the
proper choice. You
know what
really gets me, though, is like, Daisy is a good agent, and Daisy is a good person. And if he had sat her down, sat the whole team down, and been like, I've done the math, I've run every possible solution, the only way I get this to work is if she turns her powers back on.
I don't know, because she is so afraid of being the one to crack the world.
I guess, but I don't know. I feel like if he had really tried to sell it, she would have done it anyway, and then maybe just, like, had them keep her, night-night gun her every 12 hours.
Maybe, but, you know, the doctor doesn't have time for that.
I think that the doctor doesn't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the anomaly is only getting worse. What if she says no? What if
I feel like the doctor is just, it's an example of his own stress levels, and he's not sleeping, and he's getting more and more worked up, and more of it is him having to figure it out, and blah, 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 and he just had like a, it's like Simon said at the end, he had like a mental snap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that whole scene where Daisy's still on the table, the look on Gemma's face, and the way she talks to him, she's so tired, and she's so broken.
She's still trying.
She's still trying.
Yeah.
She's well, like, there's a moment, too, when she realizes there's nothing they can do short of killing him, and she's not willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because this may or may not kill... It may or may not...
Paralyze
Daisy, but she's not going to die, whereas she's not willing to kill Fitz to stop that from happening.
Well, also, yeah, because even... Like, even if she raised the gun to try to kill Fitz, the robot might shoot her first.
Yeah.
So it might, they might both die.
Yeah, that moment when the robot was pointing a gun at her, and she goes, "You would raise a gun to me?" And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's all bad. So he rips the thing out of Daisy's neck.
Oh, we all cringe.
It was like 3 feet long.
It was super gross.
And, so gross.
And then walks her through using her newly revived Quake powers to super compress the gravitonium.
No joke, I missed her powers.
I missed
them so much. It was so cool watching her use them again.
Yeah. So she oomps the gravitonium together, shoves in the ball, shoves it in the rift. Rift is closed. I'm not getting Ward back, and I am pissed.
I feel like that there had to be a moment. I'm skipping over
let's,
you.
No, let's focus on the important
there
things.
There had to be a moment for Daisy when she was using her powers where it was like, opening up like a flower to the sun, though. You know what because I mean?
It's so natural. It's so her.
And it's such a part of her, and she so embraced it so quickly when mm-hmm. it happened, and she fought so hard for the protection of her people. To voluntarily shut it down had to be hard every single day. And there had to have been a moment when she, like, turned them back on.
She's like,
where she just
yeah.
went, fuck yes.
This rocks. I can't.
So, like, I feel really terrible for her, and that choice was taken, and that's unacceptable. But, like, she got a huge piece of who she is back.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not, it's not an excuse. I'm just saying. There has to be that moment.
Also, she's not going to crack the world.
She literally cannot crack the fucking world.
She ain't got time for that shit.
She's right when she was talking about it at the start. She's like, I'm not that powerful. She's not.
Yeah. Agreed.
And then, I mean, we get that heartbreaking scene with Fitz and Simmons.
Yeah.
Simmons is still trying to, like, explain it. She's still trying to get to a point where he can come out of that room.
Yeah. But he's just like, you know, the problem... I would do it all over again now. Isn't great for me.
No, because I feel like we could have gone an easier route. I mean, I was thinking about it, the Star Trek solution versus the Battlestar Galactica solution. We could have said, oh, he had a psychotic break, and it was a completely different aspect of his personality. And we do this medical whoosh-a-whatza, and then that part gets locked away forever, and we just... and we never talk about it again. Yeah. And it's fine, and everybody forgives each other. But this is very much more the Battlestar Galactica solution, where he's like, no, I did have a break, but that was still me.
Yeah.
And even now, knowing that that was a part of me...
And what it cost,
I would still do it.
Yeah.
He rolled the hard six, regardless of what happens to him.
And so that in retrospect, fucked
I'm
up.
Kind of now less excited about how cool he was with guns, because the doctor was still inside of him also. I'm like, I would have given that up if he wasn't also this creepy person now. Damn it.
Here's the thing, though. He's not a creepy person. He's just... He's
completely
like,
sometimes lacking in morality human empathy. And empathy.
Yes, but you know when Coulson has to make the really tough calls and people get sacrificed and sometimes it's him, but sometimes it's other fucking people? He was doing that. You sometimes have to do that as a leader, mm-hmm. and it sucks. But, like, you have... I say you have to roll the hard six.
You're someone saying that has too many to do times. It. You need another phrase now.
No, it's Battlestar Galactica, bro.
I don't care.
You should watch that show. It's so good.
I have seen that show.
I don't believe you.
Oh, okay. Bummer.
And then Gemma finds out about Deke.
Yeah, so Deke sits down, and I'm like, oh no.
I wanted them to hug, but I get why they didn't.
I was super worried that she was going to have, like, stupid TV emotional, I need to, like, make out with somebody to feel something.
Oh,
and
it was going to
be super grody.
Also, Gemma is not like that.
Oh, no, I know. It's just TV's conditioned to me. Yeah. And it's
really.
No,
you're
not
wrong. I guess for a moment I went, ugh, if she tries to kiss him, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah.
But no, it was more like he let her know who he is.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted them to have a moment where they hugged or something, because they both so obviously needed a hug.
And so then after they have that very heartfelt conversation, Gemma immediately pukes on the floor, which is TV shorthand
pregnant!
For she's pregnant.
She better not be pregnant.
She's fucking pregnant, bro. That's the only reason girls throw up, if they haven't been previously binge drinking.
An emotional response of, this has been the shittiest day of my life, and I just found out my grandson is consoling me, but also he's the same age or younger, or same age as me, and this is real weird.
It could be, but it also, I mean, it's, you know.
75% she's pregnant.
Because that way, if she's already pregnant, we can be ambivalent about
whether or not they end up together.
Actually get back together.
Oh, sure.
Because if she's pregnant now, he could die tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it, though.
No.
That's fair. I don't like it either. You know how I feel when someone gets pregnant on a show.
And yeah. I'd rather it's just an emotional response anyway. I think that's more personal.
Well,
powerful.
Also, like, I'm so mad when shows are like, oh, they got married and they're instantly pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that fucking easy.
Sometimes you get pregnant first.
It's true.
I'm just saying, I think that's annoying.
Yes. Agreed.
I think kids on shows are annoying, so let's avoid that. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Also, like, legit, the math doesn't work out.
Well, I don't know. When does morning sickness kick in?
No, I mean, like, the 90 years math. Deke is from 90 years in the future, but he's in his, what, let's say he's 30?
Mm-hmm.
But Ma probably didn't have a baby until she was almost 30. That's only 60 years, so the math doesn't work out for her to be pregnant now.
Okay.
Well, but I mean, also, we could be screwing with the established timeline at this point, so who knows? Like, I feel
Do you think that Deke would start forgetting those memories of his mom telling good stories about Leo if they never get back together?
I feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. Or they, does
in
the,
a different timeline.
Yeah, the fractured timeline.
It's not a Back to the Future timeline.
Yeah, it does a new thing.
Even if we said that Gemma was pregnant now and she and Fitz never got back together because she couldn't save him, I feel like it's not impossible to think that she would still tell their daughter the best stories about
yeah.
him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and also, speaking of fractured timeline stuff, I feel like Yo-Yo needs to be a lot more careful because she's very cavalier right now.
Yeah!
Oh, I saw old me. I obviously can't die now. I'm going to do real stupid stuff.
Literally, when she said that, I was like, let's find out. Shoot yourself in the head.
Yeah, right?
But I'm like, I guess I'm really mean. Because I'm kind of like, I don't know what I'm thinking. But in the moment when she's like, oh, I can't die because I exist in the future, I was like, really? Like, shoot yourself. Let's see what happens. Maybe you can die. Like, mm-hmm. Don't trust that. That's stupid.
People get weird about
That's why prophecy is really stupid. And if you assume, like we just did, that they're on fractured timelines, that is no longer their future.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is that...
Just be careful anyway.
Yeah. Well, there's no historical record of Deke, and at this point, he has a record, so they would have, like, they could have... you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So for all we know, we're in a brand new timeline already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the problem with any kind of prophecy, is that you think you know what it means, but you don't actually know what it means until after it's over.
You have
yeah.
to just throw it away. You just have to, like, erase
yeah,
it.
Don't
have to, like, Men in Black thing. Flashy machine yeah. you yourself, and, like, do your own... Just live your fucking life.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just gonna fuck you up.
I mean, learned that in Harry Potter.
I mean, I went Oedipus.
You learned
oh,
Men
Jesus
in Black.
Jesus Christ!
Ew, gross.
No, the ignoring a prophecy and not taking it seriously. I learned.
You think you know
Harry
what
Potter.
It means, and then yeah. it fucks you in the worst
yeah.
way.
What it actually means,
and then
is
you're
you try to have sex
your
with your mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blech. Not Harry Potter, kids. That's Oedipus.
That book got real weird. I tell you what.
Don't read Harry Potter 8. It's weird.
Yeah.
So anyway,
we get to the very last scene. Where Monica and I just yelled at each other for 10 minutes.
Oh my god, I was so angry! Oh my
okay,
god!
No, so
literally,
here's...
like, 6 minutes later, I come out of the kitchen and I just go, Hydra!
Okay,
Our
so,
poor neighbors.
But the thing is, so we see Hale in a dark room being talked mm-hmm. to by some dude who's like, hey, you know, you can't fail. Here's this sweet go juice if you think you're going to, but you
Odium.
Totally won't need that. Yeah, it's
Cree stuff.
It's super yeah. weird because that's, and I'm legit not trying to tie it into Sanderson, but that's like the big bad in the Stormlight Archives is named Odium. And so like, I have real hard time taking that name seriously in other places. And at the very last scene, he's like, well, and you know, obviously Hail Hydra. And so I don't know, like I feel because Hive was one of the Kree's first inhuman creation thingies. And then Hydra was created to bring Hive back. And then kind of later on, split from the Kree. But then what if the Kree are just now kind of back and manipulating Hydra? Because he said it so cavalierly that I almost...
He doesn't really believe it.
Yeah, I think it's more like...
They're
I'm
going to
say
Cassius'
dad has taken over Hydra at this point. Mm.
Ooh.
We were listening, and the dude's like, you know, we here in the Confederacy. And I went, that's not a good word
yeah,
here.
That's a real
strange That's uncomfortable. Why would you... And then he was like, oh, and by the way, and I was like, God fucking damn it.
You know, it's just hick aliens.
What aliens?
Hick.
Also, like, I'm so disappointed in the general. Like, we fucking know who Hydra is. What are you doing? Captain America literally, like, 3 years ago cleaned them out of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And she's been running around this whole time saying S.H.I.E.L.D. is the bad guys? You are literally working for the bad guys!
That or they have some sort of leverage and he's using it to taunt her. Because just the delivery of it was just so strange.
I guess. I'm like, I don't want to ever have to deal with them again. Like, just have it be the Kree.
The Hydra is the recurring big bad of S.H.I.E.L.D., though.
I guess. And it's because they're the antithesis of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. I get it. But, like, god damn it.
They should bring
it.
Amon more with their stupid yellow suits. That'd
they
be awesome.
They should bring Amon.
Bee suits.
I love them. They're so dumb.
Anyway, like, 10 minutes after the show ended, we were just muttering, yeah. Hydra, fucking.
So this show's out of control, and it's insane.
The show is bananas every week, and
yeah.
I love it.
Like, so much happens.
Right? Oh, my god. So, yeah. So, it's like... We finally figured out how to do what we've been doing for the what we've been trying to do for the last 3 episodes, which is close the rift. But now we've just got whole bunch of new problems.
Yeah.
I feel like that's basically how the show rolls, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we're going to solve this current problem, and in solving the problem, we will create four new problems.
Yeah. I tell you, what this show reminds me of, and it's going to be a weird connection, like the second and third season of Vampire Diaries, because like how well they communicate with each other. And how you have, like, six or seven, like, story You're arcs going at the same time. Yeah. And then you finish one, and then the finishing of that
opens up a can of worms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, oh, no, we killed this one guy. Now we gotta kill these other guys.
Okay, so I have to tell you a secret. While we were talking about how well they communicate in Black Lightning, was thinking to myself, I wonder if the CW learned from Vampire Diaries.
Oh, probably.
Because all the fans of the show could not get over how well they communicated and used cell phone devices.
Yeah.
In the show, that the second mm-hmm. someone knew something, the whole team knew something.
Yeah, just boom, 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 group
and
text.
I wonder if CW like plucked that from the show and went, all of our shows will communicate this well.
I mean,
because
have
the
you
fans love it.
Watched Arrow or The Flash? They obviously haven't learned it in all their shows.
Well, I mean, some of their shows they learned it on Legends. Legends doesn't really keep secrets.
Yeah,
and Black Lightning doesn't keep any fucking secrets.
I'd have to take a look and see. Like what the writers' room looks like because they have some of the same staff writers mm-hmm. who are like communication is great.
It's really important, and all our fans loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to rank the shows this week?
Shield.
I don't know what to do.
Still Shield. It's Shield.
It's I love that it like it. Well, okay, but for you, it's almost always guaranteed Legends.
Yeah. So having Shield. It be not Legends is pretty exciting.
For me, it's been basically just like Black Lightning the whole time, and then like every once in a while Shield. But I have to go Shield this time because this episode was bananas.
Yeah,
it's tough, man. Okay, so
can there be a tie?
No, you have to take a stand.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go Legends. Sorry, friends.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yeah.
The standalone and nothing happens episode. Oh, is it because of Gary?
No, I just had such a good time.
Oh, it was a super fun
episode.
You
sound like Kenneth right now. I know. Really
I'm excited. This is great.
Don't do this.
This is going in my diary.
Don't leave me.
Sorry, I picked Legends. But I am gonna say that I think the scene between Fitz and Simmons and Daisy, where Daisy's on the table, is my favorite scene.
Yeah,
it's so good.
I think the scene, the very first scene with Fitz and the doctor, was I think my favorite acted because he's acting against himself.
Yes,
and he's so different in each persona. And when he was Fitz, you could literally see him falling apart. Mm-hmm. Like his hand tremor came back. He was not comfortable. He was all over the place. His voice warbled. He was like red-eyed, and I don't know, I thought he did
been killing it for years now.
Yeah, no, he's so good on this show, and I'm like, where are your movie contracts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone on this show deserves an entire movie franchise, let's be real. I can't wait for Chloe Bennett to start getting into movies.
Dude, you know, and it's so crazy, too, because I think about it pretty often, how kind of a crappy actor I thought she was initially, and she's just...
I think it was the writing.
It could have been the writing, but regardless, within the first season, she had such a dramatic change.
Also, I think it was one of her first shows, too.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit... the start of a show is always a little wobbly with the writing and the directing, and I think she was just a little inexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
she's fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah, she crushes
it. The more
time
she spends on the show, you know, with more experienced actors she gets to learn from.
Also, the amount of stuff they expect each person to do on this show, because how many of them have had doppelgangers?
Yeah,
and how many of them have played different versions? And how, you know what I mean? And, you know, they go to the future and they go to the past and there's a dude on fire. Like, there's so much that happens.
Yeah, it forces you to grow as an actor.
Right. And she gets to be almost a different person every season. And as an actor, that has to be fun, because at first she was Sky and then she was Daisy and then she was Sky again, and now every version of her, regardless of name, is like some new layered version of this person.
Yeah.
I mean, all the character growth has been amazing, except for Mac, who's basically the same, but that's fine.
Yeah, he's...
Poor Mac.
Yeah.
He's just a short straw.
Yeah.
The short axe, I think you mean.
Short shotgun axe.
All right, friends.
Okay, and so that is our show. We are back next week with a... same lineup again, actually. Legends, Black Lightning, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
then we fucking finish Punisher?
Yeah, we can toss Punisher in also.
All right.
Actually, and then I think Legends is just finishing up, and then it's flipping back over to Supergirl. So that's nice.
I was like, this has been really weird. It's been, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, it's just, I thought when they initially talked about it, I thought it was going to be three on, three off.
Same.
And they're just doing the entire full run of Legends.
That's so weird because it was 3 Supergirl, yeah. And then Legends started.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe
they saw the numbers skyrocket. Yeah, it could be
they just had a very good response to Legends. They're like, oh, well, you know, we'll just run Supergirl a bit later. So anyway, thank you for listening. We're back tomorrow with our talking about Ant-Man, mm-hmm. And we will see you then. Same bam time, same pow channel.
Bam pow, lit.
It's lit.